Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to an end-of-season Highbury Squad pod. Unfortunately, today, Kevin can't be with us, but I've got my sister from another mister, Miss Sophie. Sophie, hello, darling.
Buongiorno. How's it going?
Okay. Excellent. We're in a final, babe.
Yeah, and I would love everyone to start talking about the final and maybe start forgetting about all the preparation for it. But we'll get into that.
Definitely going to talk about that soon. So yes. Today we have a special guest. Now, I know him very well, and I think millions of Arsenal fans know him very well. So let me welcome to the pod Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV. Hello, Robbie.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Not as big as Kevin Campbell. Wow, that's get some big guests on you, dude.
Yeah, we do. We've had some brilliant guests on the last couple of years, but you are someone who I don't even know where to start, Robbie. First of all, let's just chat about how you and I know each other. So about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I was asked to do the big Arsenal discussion with you and our mate Giles. Yeah. And we did that for about a year, didn't we?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. And I used to always love your controversial opinions.
Amanda controversial now.
You mean...
I'm a bully us all the time. You know?
Me bully you lot. Yeah, okay. I wouldn't say controversial. I'd say I was a gobby gooner girl, probably. That's how you would describe me.
That's what we love about you. That's what we love about you.
Love you too. But... talking about controversy, okay, so you have to admit, Robster, that's what I call him, Robbie, is that you, as a Arsenal Fan TV head of it, is loved and hated. I mean, I've never been anywhere so much where views are so split on what you do and what goes on. So, you know what, just tell us a bit about how it all started with whoever comes on to the, you know, comes to chat to you at the end of a match.
How it all started from the beginning or
after I did the big Arsenal discussion, it sort of took off, didn't it? So obviously I'm part of that.
You are part of the success.
Part of the success.
she's trying to take credit, Robbie. You are
credit.
The money.
Oh, go on, Robbie. Tell us about how you started this.
You know, it's just quite a simple concept where I just like always thought to myself, why can't we hear from ordinary fans? I mean, I know we do have things like podcasts and that, but we didn't really have anything in film where you get to hear from the ordinary fans, you know, and get their opinions. You know, we hear from everybody else. We hear from the pundits. We hear from ex-players. But we never heard from ordinary fans. So it was the simple concept was just like, let's be outside games and talk to fans and get their opinions on how the game went. I suppose, you know, one of the things that's made us quite controversial is the fact that we do allow people to have quite strong opinions if they, if they have a quite strong opinion. And we were kind of around... you know, came to prominence in the era where, you know, we was having lots of problems with the manager, with Arsene Wenger at the time. I mean, well, I remember when we first started the channel, I think that probably 20% of people, 15, 20% of people wanted Arsene Wenger to leave. And anybody who came on and spoke badly about Arsene Wenger used to get a lot of abuse. And then by the end of it, it kind of turned the other way where you'd sort of say 80% of people wanted him to leave. So I think because we've always allowed people to have their honest opinions, sometimes if that opinion's not been the same as others, they've been upset by it. There's old school fans, I suppose, sometimes who say that, you know, we shouldn't have these opinions out in public. But I say that we're living in an era of social media. I mean, look at this podcast that we're doing now. We've got somebody on it from America. You know, we're not all together, but we're all talking together, you know. So in the age of social media, you know, it's an age where lots of people get to have their opinions, and not every time everybody's going to agree with everything that's said. But I think that we've done pretty well, and I think that we continue to allow people, Arsenal fans, you know, not just even in England, but all over the world, to have their say on the club. We're sort of growing and going from strength to strength.
It's a weird one for me, because I know all the characters, as they say, that talk to you, okay? And how they get described when I'm out and about or on social media is not actually the people that I know. So how would you describe your main characters, I suppose? I mean, you've got...
I don't like to call them characters.
Not characters, no. Sorry. I mean characters as in personality, not like... Yeah. Cartoon characters. I mean, their character as I know them.
Character. They're fans that have, you know, a lot of them that, you know, have become very popular from talking on Arsenal Fan TV because it's quite a big platform. But listen, they're all very different. The one thing I'd say about all of them is that they're all very, very passionate Arsenal fans. They can be, you know, like somebody like a DT can be a very, very controversial and divisive figure. I don't agree with everything that he says. I don't agree with most things he says. But and a lot of people like to hear him. A lot of people like to hear his views on things. So, you know, it can be quite difficult for us because, you know, people be like, well, you agree with everything he says because no, I don't. I just, you know, he's an Arsenal fan. He's having his opinion, and we allow fans to have their opinions. And I think we've shown that, you know, we've got a pretty diverse fan base. We allow lots of different people to have their say. So sometimes some of those people may not, you know, look like us or sound like us or share our views. They might be sometimes controversial. They might be sometimes saying exactly what we say. But if you're going to be an honest platform, you've got to allow everybody to have their say. So that's what we tried to do.
So one of the main things that people, you know, I talk to a lot of fans and stuff about things like this. One of the main things is they say you have the same people week in, week out. And one of the criticisms, you know, is that they're just shouting and screaming about Arsenal. Now, I've done one of those interviews, if you remember back to when I came out of Tottenham. I didn't want to do it, but you bloody pulled me over. And I remember it was a minute after the final whistle had gone. Harry Kane had scored a header. I was all over the place, livid with everything. So I sort of get the passion at that moment because I lost it. And, you know, I just was fuming and walked off. And then obviously I had to live with the consequences of that one quite a few years ago. But, you know, for you, when you're standing there, Rob, and you don't agree with DT or Troops or Claude or Lee or whoever it is that you're talking to, how do you, as a host, remain neutral? Because obviously you're interviewing them, you know.
It's quite difficult. So my what I do and what I see my job as is to challenge people when they say things. So if somebody, like, for instance, when Arsene Wenger was there, when somebody said to me, oh, Wenger should go now, I'd be like, well, why? You explain to me the reasons why you think he should go. And if they, you know, if they said their point, I'd be sort of, a lot of times I play devil's advocate and I will put the other point of view and justify why you feel he should go. Or you don't think Petr Cech should play in the final of the Europa League? Justify that. You know, I might say, well, that person might be saying, well, I don't think he should play because he's going to join Chelsea at the end. And I might say, well, hold on, but has Petr Cech let us down in the Europa League? Has he not pulled off some brilliant performance? Don't you think he's a very professional keeper? So I'll always ask the questions to try and keep it, you know, so that people are, you know, they have to justify it. I don't let just people just come on in and just rant for ranting's sake. I will challenge them. And the other thing is what a lot of people, I think, they will just focus on rants. They'd be like, oh, Robbie, you get people like come on and they rant. But they forget about, what about when we win games? You know what I mean? We don't lose every single game and have a rant.
No.
When we was earlier on in the season, when we was on that, we were winning game after game after game. There was nobody coming on ranting and there's nobody criticising and saying, oh, you better go come on and rant. You know, everybody was coming on and praising the club, praising the players. It's brilliant. Well done, Unai Emery. We're on a fantastic, you know. But then if at the end of the season now we bottled it like what we did and, you know, where we should really have got into the top four, understandably, when those fans come out, those same fans who are praising the great run, okay, we got beaten in a way we did against Palace, or we lost, you know, we drew how we did against Brighton and put in a very poor performance. So I think you have to judge it honestly and judge it as a platform as a whole. You know what I mean? A lot of people just like to focus on one thing. They might be, oh, there's rants. And I'll say to them, well, you know, do you look at the other content? People say, oh, it's the same people every week. No, it's not. We're about one of the only platforms that after a game we'll sometimes have like 30 interviews with 30 different fans. Yes, you'll have a DT and you'll have a Troops and those guys because they are very popular guys and people want to hear from them. But I hear people say to me, oh, you had the same people on. But I'll look at the videos and I'll be like, there was like 18 new people on today, right? And I remember saying this to a guy one time. He was on a trip abroad and I said that to him and he goes, yeah, but I don't watch them ones. So I said, well,
there we go. Exactly, yeah.
Therein lies the rub, right? People like the controversy and that's the truth of it. So, I mean, there was a time where I couldn't watch because I was a little bit, and I'm just being honest because I think you're a really good guy, but I was a little bit embarrassed by some of the things that people were saying and the way they were acting. But the truth is, controversy sells. But here's what I want to say before we move on to the game, because I know we only have you for a short amount of time. Yeah. One of the things I think that goes unnoticed, because everyone focuses on wanting to rip Troops or wanting to rip DT. And like I said, I wasn't a fan. But yeah, one of the things I think that does go unnoticed, Robbie, is what a trailblazer you have been in the fan TV area. And what you created and the platform you created, other clubs now in the Premier League and in lower leagues have followed suit. So to give credit where credit is due here, how do you feel about being a trailblazer and about being a huge part of the football story when it comes to delivering content? Because what you say is true. It's not just about the post game. If people go to your YouTube channel and they see all the different things that you do, you're creating content. And at the end of the day, you've definitely been an innovator in that area. How does that make you feel?
Well, thank you very much. And yeah, you know, I feel really good about it because, you know, people say to me sometimes, oh, how do you feel about they got a United one and they're copying you? I'm like, yeah, I've got no problem with that.
Yeah.
You know, they're a Manchester United. You know, I mean, they have different types of fans and they want to get their fans' point of view. And I feel pretty proud that, like, you know, all these channels have sprung up and they're doing their thing. And I a lot of time, I'll help them out. You know, I mean, if they call me and they say, Robbie, give us some advice on this, I'll give them that advice because I think it's great that we've got these platforms out there. It's a bit like when podcasts first started out, I remember a lot of the people who were doing podcasts used to get criticized and they'd say, oh, you lot, you try to pretend to be like those guys on TV, you know, but, you know, why can't a fan have a say? I mean, if I listen to you guys talking about Arsenal, I know that I'm listening, whether I agree with what you say or not, I know that I'm listening to real Arsenal fans. You share the passion that I share. I may not agree with everything you say. I may agree with a lot of the things you say. Rather than sometimes you listen to some of these pundits, and I can tell you that a lot of times they haven't even watched the game. They've just been given like some
exactly
in the game and stuff like that. Even ex-players. I've spoken to ex-players who said to me that, you know what, Rob, I hardly get down to go and watch Arsenal. I go now and again, you know, I played for them for years. Now I want to do something else. But they'll go and make comments on the game and that because they're getting paid. So to me, when you hear from fans, you may or may not agree with what they've got to say. But, you know, I think it's great that, you know, we've got platforms now like ours, like yours, like many different ones where fans can have their say. Of course, it's open to sometimes a bit of abuse. It's open to, you know, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. A lot of this we've had to learn as we've gone along because, you know, we sort of pioneered a lot of it And we've made mistakes along the way, and I will admit that. But I just think it's great that ordinary fans get to have their say, you know. And, you know, I always can sort of back up what we do. We're at every single game we are.
Yeah, but
people say things to me like, oh, you're up me. I bet you're glad when you lose. I'm going, mate, I'm at every single game. Minus 17 in the Ukraine this season. They were saying that, you know, when we played Vorskla, the country's under martial law. And so we were there. We were there. And it doesn't really make financial sense to go to a game like that if you're going purely to try and make money, right? But we are there because we want to tell the story of Arsenal fans at every single game. And that's what we do.
See, what I feel about it is there's no difference to you interviewing whoever you interview to people talking down the pub, Rob. When I used to go in the 80s and we used to come out and we were fuming and we would go and chat, we'd go home, we'd talk in the car, everyone argued, not me.
You only went to the pub in the 80s?
I didn't go to the pub.
Right?
No, I didn't go to the pub. I only started going to the pub the last 5 years. I used to go to the caf, go with my family and go home. But, I mean, I used to be...
drove you to drink.
I used to be at school or at work, though, you know, leading in from school to work, that we would talk at work and someone would say to me, no, I don't rate David Seaman or David Seaman's great. There's no difference. And everyone is entitled to their own opinion on what they think. No one is right because nothing is factual. So if you're saying to me that don't rate Mkhitaryan, great, I might rate him, but it doesn't mean you or I are right. The thing I find is, and I have it on a very much smaller scale to any of them, is if I tweet something that I'm adamant about, the abuse sometimes I get, but it doesn't affect me in any way, shape or form, you know, and I'm on a very small scale to, you know, the people we've mentioned. So it's no different to someone coming out of the game, chatting with the mates, going for a drink and going, well, actually, I didn't rate this and I want Wenger out or I want Wenger to stay. It goes on everywhere. I think what's happened is, Robin, you're right, social media has sprung up and allowed certain voices, certain abuses to go on. And I think it's wrong. You know, I've always said the same thing, Rob. If they don't like you or Arsenal Fan TV, do not watch it. You have an off button. You have an on button. You know, it's not for everybody.
I think the issue people had, some Arsenal fans had, was the way other fan bases were ridiculing us during that time. Because we were a ridiculous club, to be quite honest. That whole time.
But then don't we do that? We do that as well, don't we? If Tottenham lose next week, and hopefully they
please
do.
Please, God.
Oh my God, from your mouth to God's ears. Right?
Yes.
We will be ripping into them.
Yes.
Right? That's just what football fans do. I've said that to fans before. I can't stop, you know, if they don't come on, grab a Arsenal Fan TV video to ridicule, then they're going to get something else. They're going to grab someone's tweet. They're going to, yeah, I mean, we can't stop doing that,
Robbie,
because someone's ridicule us, you know. Yeah, so
I agree with you. And also, one of the videos that went viral was Chris Hudson. Remember a couple of years ago or 3 years ago? I've known Chris since I was probably about 10 or 11 at Highbury. Okay. Chris is just as mad passionate as me or anyone else. So when he did what he did, that is Chris. That is him all over. And I had total respect for him. He was brilliant, but unfortunately there was a lot that ridiculed him because they didn't know him. Okay. Us of old from Highbury know Chris very well. And I just feel that people are I like your platform. I wouldn't have come on to your platform if I didn't like it. I don't necessarily do the interviews after, but I'm always chatting with everybody. And I just think if you know, as you said, DT has his followers, Troops does, Lee does, Claw does, Ty does. Let them be. They're fans of Arsenal. They travel everywhere. As you say, every away game I go to, they're always at. Every home game I see them. So let them be. But I just don't like the abuse of what they receive. I don't like that. I don't like abuse of anybody. And it's really unnecessary.
Unacceptable.
It is. Yeah, and I got abuse last year because of what I wanted Wenger out. I got really bad abuse at a certain point from a tweet. And it wasn't acceptable to me because just because I want Arsene Wenger out, you don't have to agree with me.
One of the things that made me laugh, Amanda, right, is that even like when Gary Neville had a go at us, and then within that video of him. But what made me laugh is seeing Gary Neville last season outside stadiums interviewing fans before games and stuff like that and after games. Right. And I was just like, oh, it's all right now, is it?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, when you're, like you said, when you're trailblazing and you're doing something and you're kind of disrupting the industry, you're going to get a lot of criticism sometimes, but it goes with it. I'm kind of easy with it. It goes with the territory.
Well, look, let's move on because we've got, another, 10, 15 minutes. I'm going to try and steal a few extra minutes here with Robbie, but, we've got a huge game coming up. And if there was ever really terrible preparation for a game from a, outside point of view, this is it for our biggest game in what? I don't know. Since maybe the Champions League final.
Oh, since the Champions League final, yeah.
Yeah, and from the venue, which is horrendous, and you can talk us through maybe in a nutshell, Robbie. One of my biggest issues, obviously, and for a lot of Arsenal fans, is Mkhitaryan. A lot of fans will say, oh, well, we've been ripping him all season because he hasn't played well. No, there's been moments where Mickey's come on and made a difference in the second half. He gives Emery another tactical option, and that's all at the end of the day. Right. And here we are with Raheem Sterling fighting racism and everyone talking about racism. For me, what's going on borders a little bit on that. Talk us through what you think about that whole situation, Robbie, and the fact that we're playing a game in a place where one of our players, imagine if Emery was Armenian, and what would be happening if this was like an Mbappe or a Messi or Ronaldo? Give us your thoughts on that.
Well, I agree with 100% with what you've been saying. I mean, I've done quite a lot of interviews with TV and that, and I've said it. I've, like, as far as I'm concerned, and it's nothing against the people in Azerbaijan and that, and it's a beautiful place and a nice country, but how can you, number one, play a final in a place where hardly anyone can get to? 5.5-hour flight, hardly any flights there. You know, if you can get a flight in, you'd be very hard to get a flight out until the following week. That's what a lot of people have been finding. They knew it was going to be hard to get to. That's why they only issued 6,000 tickets, because the reasoning behind only issuing that was they know a lot of fans won't be able to get there. So why are you holding it there? And then this whole situation with Mkhitaryan. I mean, I heard Simon Jordan on the radio the other day saying something I thought was pretty disgraceful, where he was saying, oh, he's a bit of a chicken. They've guaranteed his safety, should go there.
It's just terrible.
Terrible. I mean, number one, nobody can completely guarantee your safety. If he goes out there, you imagine this, right? I was just thinking about it the other day. I was saying, back in the day when a lot of black people, when there was apartheid in South Africa, and when some black, you know, they'd hold cricket there and sometimes, and they'd pay a lot of black guys a lot of money to go over there and play cricket. When they came back, they were ostracized by the community for going out there, because people were like, listen, that country's not a place where black people were welcome. Luckily, apartheid ended and it is now, it's changed place. But in those times, it wasn't. So imagine, like, it's a similar situation with Mkhitaryan. If he's probably the most famous sports person in Armenia. What's it going to look like for him and his family and that going to a country where you're not welcome? You know, he's going in there. He's not welcome, really. Even if they sort it out that he can come there, he's not welcome. His family's not welcome. His friends are not welcome. As a matter of fact, anybody who's got an Armenian sounding name is not welcome in Azerbaijan. So why are we holding a final there? I just do not understand.
It's interesting, actually, Robbie, because I never thought of that. About the fact that his family and his friends, and he could be shunned.
Of course.
I never even thought about it.
How's if his dad or his mum or dad or cousins or whatever want to come and watch him play, are they welcome?
No.
No, they're not. So everybody's, would we do it? If it was, let's think about if it was England, and some of the English players in the team, and we were playing a country that we're at war with, our politicians would be saying not to go. Our politicians were telling England, some of them, not to go to Russia last year, right, for the World Cup. And we're not even at war with them.
Correct.
And they were saying, oh, we shouldn't really be going to Russia. Theresa May, all of the diplomats, none of them went to Russia for the, remember, for the opening ceremonies and all that. They refused to go because there's a dispute, a little dispute in comparison to what Armenia and Azerbaijan are going through. And then we've got people like Simon Jordan and other fans and that expecting Mkhitaryan to go out there.
No one expects it, Rob. I'm pleased he said no. I respect him a lot.
Some Arsenal fans, even Arsenal fans, that have said, "Oh, but he's getting Robbie. The amount of money he's getting, he should be professional."
No way, really?
I've heard that, and I've seen that where people have criticised him and said, "Oh, the amount of money he's going, he should go."
No way.
And like you said, Sophie, right? He's an important player in Arsenal's team. He's played. Whether you think he's top notch or whatever, he's one of our game changing players. He scored in a final before when he played there, when he played in Europa League final for Manchester United. He's got the experience of playing in a final. He would be a big player for us in that final. He possibly would have started. You know what I mean? It's touch and go because remember, there's no Ramsey. It would be between him and Ozil probably playing in that number 10 role, but he would have some involvement in that final. And then how can UEFA justify having it there? Like you said, if it was Mbappe, if Azerbaijan had a problem with, Argentina, would they, still be going there if Messi had to go there?
Do you know what? Honestly, Rob, if this was Messi or Ronaldo, it would have been moved to a neighbouring country.
Because it's Armenia, a little small country.
Yeah, Mkhitaryan is messy.
And here's the problem. Here's the problem for our team. I understand some people have really been giving the club a hard time for not taking a stronger stance. However, got to be really careful because these organisations, it could cost us a place in Europe for 5 years if we protest too much. They can do whatever they want to us.
Yeah. It's not the club.
Their hands are kind of tied at this point, at this moment. We can't back out. Yeah, would it be great for Arsenal and Chelsea to say, "F you, we're playing in London. We'll pick up the bill for Wembley." Yeah, and then what do? You find yourself ostracized from Europe. Yeah. Let's say we make the Champions League. They won't let us play in it. So I understand the club's stance, don't you?
Yeah, of course. And I think the club haven't done anything wrong. You know what I mean? You can't blame the club for this. This is purely down to UEFA. They've decided to go there for the money. Azerbaijan's an oil-rich country, and they've decided to go there for the money. And if it had been a bigger player, from a bigger country, if it had been Mesut Ozil, or if it had been one of the big star players from the big countries like Germany or England or Spain, I think that they possibly would have thought about moving it, right? So it's just, I'm trying to be positive about it being over there. I do agree that, you should sometimes have it in many different places. I'm really trying to be positive. And I think once I get out there, I'll be positive and looking forward to it. But at the moment, all it is around this whole thing is negativity. And like you said, it's our biggest final since the Champions League final. But it just should not have been in Baku. And you can even see the players coming out and you can see they're angry. Guys like Koscielny, Monreal, they've come out. They're obviously very angry about it because it's one of their teammates.
Rob, can I just move on from that? I've had a question from my dad, actually, and it's relative. He said, would the team be more determined to win resulting from the lack of support owing to the shocking location due to UEFA and Mickey unable to play? So do you think the team are going to go gung-ho and try? I mean, obviously they would have done anyway, but it's even more for them because they want to win it for Mickey, don't they?
Yeah, they've all said, all the players have said that, listen, we want to win it for Mickey. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a T-shirt come out, they score a goal or whatever.
I'd love them to do that.
That'd be great if they could win it for him.
What's interesting, Rob? I'm a little bit different to you two. I do feel Arsenal and Chelsea should boycott it. I really do. A, we're not going to win the Champions League anyway. And B, someone needs to make a stand. Because at the end of the day, I'd be more proud of my club. I'm not saying they've done anything wrong. I think they're in a rock and a hard place, okay? Mm. I do. It is money at the end of the day. It is a Champions League place. It's quite important. I get that. But I'd have loved my club to go and stuff you. If one of my employees can't come into your country, they can't guarantee safety. I don't care what UEFA say or Azerbaijan. They cannot guarantee it, okay? So I would want them to go, we're not playing. And Chelsea do the same. I think Chelsea, I've heard, have sold 800 tickets. That is a disgrace for their club and our club, that there are going to be no very limited fans of the team that are on the pitch. I do not understand any of... Well, I do. It's all money. I don't understand how they can treat fans, football fans, that... I'm desperate. I don't miss finals. I was in 2006. I was at the Stade de France when we lost. You know, but I don't travel everywhere anymore because I have a child and different situations. But a final, me and Dad would have gone to Wembley or we would have travelled to Europe, but we can't get to Azerbaijan. And, you know, big up to anyone that's going, both Arsenal and Chelsea fans here, okay? I feel really bad. I'd love our clubs to have gone, stuff you, UEFA, stuff it, because Arsenal Armenian fans can't go either. So it stinks, but they haven't decided to do that. They have decided to go and play. So now we have to cut that negativity out, and now we have to focus on. And I'd love every Arsenal player to have a T-shirt on to piss UEFA off and say, do it for Mickey or, you know, whatever. Something like that would be brilliant.
They might be in danger if they do that, by the way.
Don't care. What are they going to do? What are they going to do, UEFA?
You can't. Listen, I would love it. I'd love Arsenal to create a movement to change football, to do all of these things. But the reality is the consequences, yeah, we will pay for years and years if we did something like that. I don't think any Arsenal fan out there wouldn't like to say, you know what, stuff you, Baku, we're not playing. But that is not the case. And I feel now, as we're moving on social media, as we get into the weekend, I would really love the energy to turn into the game. What are we, how are we going to play? How are we going to set up? What's Emery going to do? How are we going to combat Hazard? Is Cech going to play in goal? And there's this million-dollar question, Robbie. Should he play in goal?
No. You know what? Before, I've been arguing with loads of different fans because I've been saying that I've got no problem with Cech playing in goal. But when the, you know, because I think he's professional, I think he's a very experienced player, and he's not really let us down in this tournament. But I have to admit that when I saw the fact that he's going to be a possible, well, they've not said for definite, but it sounds like he's going to become Chelsea's new sporting director, I then start to look on it and say, well, we're kind of only playing him in this final because of sentimental reasons, because he's on a promise sort of thing, yeah? He's looking out for his future by going to Chelsea, and I don't blame him. He has to do that, and he's more of a Chelsea legend, obviously, than he is an Arsenal legend. But then if he's not being sentimental in the choices that he's making in moving forward in his life, which is fair enough, and
absolutely,
then why are we? You know, I mean, we need to just put the best person in that position. And if we're all being honest, the best goalkeeper at Arsenal right now is Bernd Leno. So Leno needs to start now for me. I've met Cech a few times. He's a really nice guy. From what I've heard from some of the players when I've spoken to him, they said he's a real leader. But I feel now it should be Leno in goal. That's my opinion.
Okay. But if it wouldn't have come out the news, would you still be saying the same thing?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Right. Because I've been saying it along that, you know, but the fact that he's going to Chelsea, the fact that he's looking out for himself going forward, which, as I said, I've got no problem with. Arsenal need to look out for ourselves, and that means we have to play the best player in goal, which is Bernd Leno, and no sentiment. You know what I mean, he's not having sentiment in his decision, no sentiment in our decision.
I don't agree slightly. Okay, now I'm just going to do it very quickly. I think he's professional. I don't think that would even enter his head. The only reason I wouldn't play him is for him, if I'm honest, because if he makes a mistake, which he's capable of, it's always going to go, well, you did it because you're joining Chelsea. So the only reason I'd play Leno now is because the announcement came out, which is really weird because weeks ago I knew this. So I was quite shocked that I don't really understand why it's big news. We all knew he was going there. So it's not a big deal for me. But I think for him and our club, he shouldn't play. Not because he's not professional enough, but because I feel that it's going to be too much scrutiny on him and Emery. Because what's going to happen is Emery, they're all going to say, you should have played Leno. You should have played him. You should have protected what we had. We need to win it. Chelsea do not need to win this. We do. But I feel bad for Cech because I think he's an ultimate professional, if I'm honest, and I think he would do his best. Do I think he's going to play? I actually think he will play, if I'm honest. What about you, Soph?
I don't think that, yeah, I'm here. Sorry. I don't think that Cech should play. Let's just say I got a job. I was working for Fox and then I got a job at ESPN. right? And as soon as I get that job at ESPN, Fox are letting me go. Now, if we were playing, if
but
we
you've
were
already
playing,
worked at ESPN no, previously. It does, no, previously. No,
but the point is this: it's a conflict of interest. If we were playing Valencia, if we were playing any other team in the final, I would have no issue with it. And here's the problem now, which I really don't like. The pressure it's put on him is ridiculous. But also, if Leno does come in, what I really super don't appreciate is the pressure, added pressure it puts on Leno. I think that he can help. I think that he can take that. But the position that we've put our goalkeepers in now is ridiculous. And someone leaked that deliberately to cause this issue. And now Emery has to make a big decision, which I think he's already made. But for me, if he really truly wants to put his stamp on who's the boss at Arsenal, he starts Leno in goal.
Right.
Nothing more, nothing less.
So I agree with you. Rob, I know you have to go. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I'm really sorry that I've got to go so quick because I've got to go and do some filming now.
Absolutely. But we'll get you back on in the new season.
Thanks for getting me on. I'd love to come back on. You guys are brilliant.
Oh, thank you, darling. And listen,
safe travels
and bring back the cup, yeah?
Let me come on after the final.
Oh, that'd be fabulous.
Wicked.
If Tottenham win next week, though, I'm going away for
that. We're all emigrating to the moon.
Yeah, spaceship to Pluto. Amanda and I have got our spaceship league.
Robbie, take care. Good luck. Speak soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Cheers, mate.
So Robbie has promised that he's going to come on after and discuss the final with us. We'll get that in the next couple of weeks for sure. It's interesting because while I've been podding with you, my daddy's been asking the same questions that we've been discussing about Cech and Leno. And, you know, Soph, we want the best 11 out there to win the game. If he feels Cech is better than Leno, then he'll go with Cech. I do feel to save everything, he plays Leno. Then it covers everything, doesn't it? Because we do rate Leno highly and it takes the pressure off because yes, Emery and Cech will get slaughtered. Can you imagine if he lets in a really poor goal?
What if Leno then makes a mistake, Amanda? This is the problem.
I don't think he will be slaughtered as much as it would be if it was Cech because of what's happened.
And agree.
People do rate Leno higher than Cech. And unfortunately he has played Cech the whole way through. For him to change it now, Wenger never changed it, and I'm not sure Emery will. So in my head, a Cech is playing. To be honest, I really don't have a major issue with Cech playing. If I'm honest, I really don't. There's no way on earth he would do anything to jeopardise trying to win a cup. He's still an Arsenal employee, and he still would want to win it. He cannot win it with Chelsea until end of. But it was really, really interesting listening to Robbie discuss if it would have been Messi or Ronaldo as well, but more interestingly would have been Mickey's family. I never even thought about that. I was just focused on the fact that Henrik Mkhitaryan, an employee of Arsenal, cannot play in a final because of UEFA. End of, right? And the fact that I wouldn't even discuss moving it. The fact that two London teams can't move to Wembley where it should have been moved and could have been done if it was available. But no, why do they need to book it 2 years in advance? Why not do it 6 months before and see who's in the final? Would it have been fair for another team to travel all the way to London? You know, if two Italian teams.
I mean, Baku, Amanda, back, come on. Like this, I understand that football wants to globalize the sport even more. It's the same thing with Qatar, right? It's the same bullshit. It's all about money. It's a money grab. And I'm sorry, but when Qatar was announced for the World Cup, everyone should have protested that. Just for human rights issues alone. My cousin is a women's studies professor at Berkeley University, and she was invited on a trip to Qatar. And, you know, the propaganda that's involved in trying to show and prove how women are treated is ridiculous. And, you know, it started off with the World Cup in South Africa. I love South Africa. My uncle lives in Johannesburg, my mum's brother. You know, we have tons of family there, beautiful country, but they had no business hosting the World Cup. Too soon, too much. And this is all about, you know, it starts off with Sepp Blatter's little you know, backhanders and his obsession that he kind of, you know, presented to the world, like, we're expanding the sport. No, you're expanding your pockets. And you got two London clubs traveling. How many thousands of miles did you say?
I've no
like
idea.
Like 1,000 million?
Millions.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And think about the atmosphere. What is it going to be like? We don't know. Are they going to play to a half-empty stadium?
No, I think it'll be full of locals, but I don't know who they're going to support. So this is another thing. You know, are Arsenal big out there? Are Chelsea big out there? Or is just football big out there? But you know what? Either way, let's focus on the fact that we are in a final. We beat Valencia and Aubameyang was just on flipping fire.
Oh my God, that strike with the outside of his foot. How many times have you watched that? I mean, wow.
I just felt.
Are we going to wear our new kit?
No, we're Puma till the day at the end of the season. If that is the new kit, I love it. Oh my life. I tell you something, right? I'm on a journey of losing weight, right? I tell you something, I want to keep
You're doing great.
Thank you. If I lose my weight and they are the kits, I'm buying a kit. And I haven't bought a kit for years because I don't wear kits. I love both of them. I love yellow and blue. It's my colour. It is just from Anfield 89, which we're going to touch on in a second, but, the bruised banana. We're going back to yellow and blue and red and white. Thank you, Adidas. Thank you. Thank you.
The red one is football kit porn, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I called it. And you copied me.
I didn't even see.
Did you? I called it football kit porn.
No. Well, you call everything. You got your food porn, you got your football kit porn. Anytime Aubameyang and Lacazette do anything, it's porn related. I used to be Ozil, but now you've got a new bromance going, don't you?
Anyway, shush. Anyway, moving on right now. Aren't you gutted the season ended when it did? Because we started to become on fire again.
I know. Those
stupid games we lost that we were atrocious in. We started to play well the last couple of games. If it would have gone a bit further, we might have overtaken Spurs. But we haven't. And then we're going to come on to this. Two things that we're going to discuss. Tottenham are playing in Madrid Saturday the 1st of June, sometime at 7:30, 8 o'clock, whenever it is, against our new second favourite team ever on the planet. Ever. I have learned You'll Never Walk Alone. I have learned the LA song. I've learned the Salah song. I would know it anyway because of all my Scouse mates. But we are... The whole Gooner Nation are the biggest Scousers on the planet that Saturday, even more than them. I'm telling you.
Do you want to hear something?
We need to emigrate if they beat them.
No, listen, I'm not watching the game.
Oh, I am. Go on, why not?
Can't do it.
Oh, okay.
I can't.
So
I can't do it.
I mean, you're going to be messaging me 1,000 times.
No, I'm going to go watch a film. I've decided.
No.
Yeah, I'm not watching it. I just want to come out and know what happened. I cannot go through it. I just can't. I want to come out the film where I've got a million texts from you singing stupid songs, being elated. All your, you know, trickling down. It's 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. Oh my God, 4-1. Are they going to make, I cannot live. Some of my mates have invited me, a whole bunch of Liverpool mates. There's a huge Liverpool contingent in LA. There's thousands of them going into this pub. It's going to be trickling out onto the streets. And they're like, please come, please come. I'm like, no, I'd go. I just can't. I'm more nervous about that game.
Yes. Yes. I think we all are, if I'm honest. And that is so bad to say because we're in a bloody final. But no, I totally agree. But I've got friends on both sides going, both Tottenham and Tottenham and Liverpool. And I've just said to everyone, enjoy Madrid until the evening. And I said to my Scouse mates, enjoy everything and come home with the cup. And if you don't come home with the cup, don't bother speaking to me ever again, because you lot think you're going to win it. Tottenham fans I know think they're going to lose it. And honestly, my Scouse mate will tell you, I predicted in December they'd bloody win it. I said, and he laughed at me. He just absolutely laughed at me. I went, oh my God, they have had the easiest run. Look, I'll say it now. If Liverpool turn up on the day, there isn't a problem. That's it as far as I'm concerned. If they turn up and play how they've been playing. If they don't, we've got a major problem.
I mean, you were choked up saying that. So here's the scoop, right? I think this is where Tottenham could make a mistake. There's this, all this talk about Harry Kane being fit, and you know, they got there without him, right? The City game and Ajax. And it would be, personally, I'm not a Spurs fan and I give zeros, but Lucas Moura, I mean, can you imagine benching him after what he did in those games? And Kane, it has been out for 7 weeks. He's not match sharp or match fit. Is he a great player? Absolutely. Of course, we all know that. We can't deny it. He's one of the best strikers in the world. And he, all he needs is one chance to make a difference. If he starts the game, I think it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But to have him to come off the bench.
I was going to say that. I agree with you.
You know, so it's going to be a great, listen, it could be one of the greatest Champions League games we've seen.
I think
Liverpool have beaten them twice this season, and that's what worries me.
But what's helped us is that Liverpool lost last year and they want vengeance.
And they lost the Premier League.
Yeah, and they've been playing brilliant. You cannot fault them. And Red Nose John, who listens to this, do not come home unless you have won the cup. Never speak to me ever again if you do not win in Madrid Saturday, the 1st
of
June.
Will you abandon social media?
No, because it's not social media. Twitter is not my problem. Facebook would be my problem. And the area I live in, I reckon I will be hounded at work within about 48 hours. I reckon my Facebook will be inundated. I don't really allow my Tottenham friends to follow me on Twitter anyway. I don't discuss anything with them. I think all the people on Twitter that have come at me, Tottenham fans, they will be out in force. I just think I'm going to have to... It will be the worst 50th birthday present ever. I turn 50 the month later and I'm like, every year Arsenal have done pretty okay. And it's like, they've not.
Oh, God.
And I just can't.
I'm in a WhatsApp group with my, as you know, with my Spurs cousins. Mm. It's like seven of them, one of me, and then my niece, who's a Man United fan. And their little back and forth about preparing for the game, their travel, their this, they're all going. Only one of them has a ticket. So the rest of them are watching in a bar. And it's painful. It's really, really painful. But the way they've managed to get to the final, there's something about the way they've done it. And at the same time, you could say, well, look at what Liverpool did. You don't beat Barcelona at home after going 3-0 down and not be maybe
depends.
The team that's got the name on the cup. It's, anyway, enough about Spurs.
Exactly.
They're crying out loud.
Enough. We're going to discuss the end of our season. What's going to happen? I don't discuss transfers. You can do that on another pod with someone else until they actually join. I've always been like that. But just basically, we can just go over the season. It has been a roller coaster of bipolar games, really, hasn't it? I just feel, you know, when we come into the next season with Aubameyang and Lacazette, regardless if we win the final or not, I'm so excited for them too, but I'm also apprehensive to see who Emery brings in. And actually, it's not even down to Emery, is it? I would really love to see 3 or 4 gone and 4 or 5 come in, but that's not realistic for Arsenal, is it? So we'll have to wait and see.
I've got news for you today. Mustafi's like, I'm not going anywhere. I've got a contract till 2021.
Yeah. And who gave him that contract? Anyway, moving on.
Listen, the end of the season was poor because, you know, we had our chances and we missed them. And I think we've all discussed it ad nauseum. We missed the boat. We had a phenomenal opportunity to do something really unique and special. And, you know, I don't care what anyone says. Yes, we're disappointed, but should we have even been in that position to begin with? Probably not. But look what Emery's done. He's got us to a European Cup final in his first season and a trophy that he knows how to bloody win. And we're playing Chelsea, one of our biggest rivals. What a moment. The only reason none of us are getting excited about it and that it's a little bit tarnished is because the other lot made the Champions League final. But I think we need to start focusing on our team, our journey, where we're going. Spurs have been focusing on us for the last 25, 30 years. Look where it's gotten them. You know, and I agree with you, Aubameyang and Lacazette, how exciting are these two? Build the team around them. Make our defence as powerful and as strong and as talented as those guys up front. Then we're in with the shout.
Yeah, I agree. And it's just a really weird time at the moment, isn't it? Everything that's gone on with Mkhitaryan, I was at a do on the weekends and Tottenham fans and Arsenal fans and everyone was saying, are you going? I said, of course I'm not going. Am I getting to Baku for less than 1,500 quid and 2 days of travelling? I said it's just not happening, but, you know, we've got Tottenham fans. Everyone's sort of still, we're still very football orientated, even though the season's over. So we're going to be back all during the summer. We're going to have different guests on. We're going to have fans on. We're just going to have we're going to have rival fans on. Hopefully we'll have Tottenham fans on talking about their loss in Madrid. That would be nice. And we're really excited about the fact that we're going to go through the summer and see what goes on, see what transpires in the transfer window.
But this time next week, we'll know if we're champions of, if we're in the Champions League next year.
It's bizarre, isn't it? To know I'm either going to football on a Tuesday night, Wednesday night or a Thursday night. And we just don't know. And also our season ticket renewals can't be, confirmed until we know, which is a rip-off, really, because if in the Champions League, it's more money. But that's another.
Do you think we're going to win it? Oh, that was a big sigh.
I know. Do you know what? I have to be honest. If I'm really, really honest, Soph, none of us have even talked about a prediction because all we've done is moaned about every single thing.
That's what I was saying with you, Robbie, earlier. We've got to turn our frown upside down.
Okay, so you predict, and I'm going to have a think about this.
Listen, here's what I really, truly believe, right? Chelsea, even though they've already qualified for the Champions League, does that take the pressure off them? Do they play free of football? No, it's still a European Cup final, right? They haven't been that great this season, but neither have we at times. Where we have been great is up front. And I always say, and this was Liverpool, in a way where I look at them the same. If you score three on us, we can score four on you. And if those boys show up on that night, and I feel like they're relishing it, they can't wait to get out there, those two, and play together. It's all going to be about our defense, always about our defense over the last few seasons. Which defense is going to show up? Don't make any stupid mistakes. Keep it tight. I reckon I think we'll come out fast. I think we'll probably get an early goal and that will settle us. We just need to be settled early. If we go a goal down early, that's where the wheels could come off. But when you've got Aubameyang and Lacazette up front, anything can happen.
Right. So can you give me your prediction?
I'm going to say 3-2 to the Arsenal after extra time.
Interesting. Okay, so I think, because I've just had
I just don't want it to go to penalties, Amanda. I really don't.
Only if Leno doesn't go. Because that would be it. I think we're going to win 2-1 in normal time. I think we're going to go 1-0 down. We always seem to play a bit better when we're 1-0 down. Early on, I think Chelsea are going to score early on and we'll win it 2-1. I think that's what I'm hoping anyway. But I haven't really, really had time to think about it because you're right. We need to focus on it now. It's done. We're playing in Baku. We have to get on with it. I think it's disgusting what's happened to Mkhitaryan. We all do. I don't think anyone. And the fact that Robbie has seen people discussing the fact that he should go because of what money he's on. I tell you now, if this was me, I wouldn't be going. So I'm not really bothered.
I mean, come on.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That's a ridiculous argument.
I've never heard anything like it. But anyway, so I'd like to thank everyone for listening to us during the last season. We've loved to have Kevin on and hopefully he'll come back for some guest appearance next season. Soph, it's been a delight as usual, but the next time we speak, we will know if we've won, they've won, we've lost, they've lost. We will be back regardless if we have to Skype from the moon. We will be back to pod.
I've already checked. We've got really strong Wi-Fi. Pluto, it's going
to
be great. You're
going to
love it.
Let's hope we don't have to go to Pluto, but
no, I don't think we will.
I don't even know what my answer is going to be to all the people that are going to come at me because it's been about 40 odd years of where I live. But anyway, moving
Amanda,
on.
Amanda, energy, yes, babe. We've got to put positive all the energy. Yes, absolutely.
We want is us to win and them to lose, obviously.
Yes.
Right.
Obviously.
Sophie, enjoy the final. We will discuss further on, but we want to say thanks to everyone for tweeting us and Instagram and people coming up to me at Arsenal, which is lovely. Say hello to all you tweeters. It's lovely. Thanks for supporting the Highbury squad, because we're not a big pod and there's some fantastic pods out there. I'd like to thank Robbie for coming on. He is a friend of mine and I love the fact that we can debate and chat with him as well. But as always, what do I say? Always Arsenal!